Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Full.
Hello, we are well into the World Cup tournament right now. Our apologies, we probably wanted to record a bit earlier than like maybe 4 hours before the quarterfinals, yeah. But this is much better than what we were doing in last season, so
yeah.
There you go. But what a great round of 16 it has been. Some games worked out as we expected, some games have not. Without further ado, best game of the round of 16 for you?
Even though it was lost, first one, France-Argentina, 4-3, what a game.
I agree. I think I would have had to take your, like, some sort of card away from you if you had said any other game.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was amazing.
That was a great game, that was a game that I was glad to have gotten up and watched. Now, what are your thoughts on Lionel Messi missing out? Do you give into the narrative of Mbappe now basically sending off the old master and he's the new master?
I don't know. Well, yeah, Mbappe definitely threw down the gauntlet of being the next great player.
Yep, yep.
In that game, he showed it. I don't know if Messi and Ronaldo are quite finished yet.
Yeah. I mean,
they're both only 30-ish. They probably... they want, they would have another World Cup in them, but
I
that
believe
would defend on their
Cristiano
desire.
Ronaldo is 33 and Lionel Messi is 31. In the next World Cup, Cristiano Ronaldo will be 37 and Lionel Messi will be 35.
Yeah, so
yeah, 35.
Yeah.
Now, they would be the elder statesmen in that team.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to be like at their peak. And look, I can see both of them still being great players at that age.
Yeah,
they both have a lot of skill, a lot of technique, lots of great vision. Cristiano Ronaldo is a bit more of a more physical player, but in a way, I think Cristiano Ronaldo takes better care of his body and physique as well. Knowing that, which is why I think it'll be still even between the two. I mean, people say he's got the body of a 24-year-old now.
And
because he's basically gone into becoming a striker. He's not a winger anymore. He doesn't run up and down the pitch. Heck, he might maybe be able to convert his game into becoming an attacking midfielder if need be. But even, I don't think you'd want him at midfield. Nowadays, even your most attacking midfielders kind of want to go track back and defend. He's just going to be like the guy in the forward line who's technically a center forward, but occasionally will come back and help defend. And he does help defend in the set pieces because he's great at that. And
well, both of them will continue to play a false nine type of role, really. And they'll sort of, I think that a bit more.
Yeah, Messi, I can see that false nine. And Messi's still a pretty still, I think, because he's never really depended on speed and physique or height like Ronaldo does.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He will possibly still be really good at in that traditional Argentine triquista position, number 10. But Ronaldo, at the moment, these days, he's almost pretty much a number 9. Straight center forward.
I suppose, yeah.
And a damn fine one at that. So, and that's why his goal ratio has just not gone down in age. And I'll be honest, if Ronaldo is still there in 2022 in Qatar, he should already be the world's leading international goal scorer, probably beating...
probably.
Ali Daei, he's 30 goals behind, and I could see that being like a goal for him. He's probably wants to still play until he's gotten that record. Like that's pretty much all he's playing for. He wants his legacy in the he doesn't even really care about money. Like he doesn't want to be the third best paid player.
No.
I don't think he minds if he's second to Messi, but
but
even that, it's not about the money. It's about being not number one.
I see both of them as sort of, well, especially Ronaldo, as you say, having a bit more goals in that way. Because Messi, even now, sort of feels like he's done it all, other than a World Cup. That's the only thing he's missing, is pretty much.
To be fair, Ronaldo has a European Cup. Messi's only honour for Argentina is the Olympics, which is technically not a senior level honour.
Yeah.
It's an age group. And he's won the Youth World Cup with Argentina.
Well, that's sort of...
At senior level, he hasn't even won a Copa America.
All right, yeah, so
So
he's got, that's what's left for him, really, is those major cups, the Copa America and the World Cup. Well, yeah, Ronaldo perhaps staring down of some other records plus World Cup, so whether that's enough to keep them both around in 4 years' time,
You know? Barring injuries, I don't see them both retiring.
I don't, yeah.
And I think if they're both playing, I don't see why. First of all, I don't see why Portugal wouldn't pick Cristiano Ronaldo ever. And no. I think Messi, I'd be hard pressed to see if Argentina had a bunch of new young guys coming up who were really great, who were gonna turn in their mid-20s and 2022. Yeah, maybe I would think perhaps you don't need Messi in your team for some reason, but there isn't anything like that coming down the pipeline for Argentina. So. Yeah, Messi would definitely still play. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Sergio Aguero was still playing. But yeah, that being said, both of the people who've dominated the Ballon d'Or for the last decade are out of the tournament. And France are through, and they get to face the team I've really grown to like this tournament, Uruguay. Uruguay, like, this is a brand new Uruguay. Like, this team, they played a clean game. Like, they weren't... The usual Uruguay would beat a team like Portugal by putting in a few fouls here and there. Playing that nuggety type player. They have grit. Don't get me wrong. They're tough. They have steel. And they're willing to work hard and tackle hard. If I can geek out for a moment there. Like, the way Uruguay are playing makes me like 4-4-2 as a position again. Like, they're showing exactly how you can use 4-4-2 to build the strengths of your team. Like, it's such a flexible formation, I want to say. Sorry. And yes, it not as good an attack as having a 4-3-3 or a 3-5-3.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not as defensively organized as something like a 3 at the back with 2 wing backs type of thing. Yeah. That's the 4-4-2 doesn't have that. But if you have the right wingers, and they don't necessarily need to be flying Dani Alves type, Marcelo types who are running down the wing. They just need to be doing enough work in attack. Basically, Gary Neville and Ashley Cole are the players I think of when I think of players like that. Yes, they're very good at the attack when they have to, but when they have midfielders in front of them who can attack, they just sit there. Passes, and they're happy to even do 50-50 with the mid. And, like, Ashley Cole didn't really have to do the 50-50, but Gary Neville, when he had David Beckham in front of him in right mid, they both admitted that they were basically 50-50. If David knew that Gary Neville was running up and marauding and getting across, and he would run back to track back and defend and keep. And they both did that. It's one of the strengths of why that 99-2000s... Man United team had a really strong defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And the center backs don't need to be that attacking. They don't need to be marauding out. And Godin and the Uruguay center backs aren't exactly the youngest spring chickens in the world, but they are really well skilled. They know exactly the timing and they know their positional sense is spot on. And this is the flexibility of the 4-4-2 because if they had young central defenders who could run up, or they could use them in that position, and they don't have to. They can keep them back. And I've got to say it, Suarez and Cavani have defended really well, coming back to track back. And Suarez was basically a third center back that game almost.
Yeah, no.
For Portugal, while still being a really good attacking threat, having that attack. Like, that was one of the best performances. Like, of course, Cavani rightfully got a lot of plaudits for the goals he scored. And that second goal was a stunner. But Suarez was my man of the match in that match. Yeah. He had a brilliant, brilliant game. Like, they basically shut Portugal out. They were never in danger of losing. They weren't quite in second gear, but they, running on first gear, they never looked like they were going to run out of gas or
push it out. So the bits I saw, they definitely were... they're playing well together. Like, they were a cohesive unit that was, and everybody knew their role and knew what to do, and everybody was committed 100% to it. Not that any other team's not doing that, but you know, you could see it as just so much they were there for themselves and they weren't going to give up on it. No, we're going to make sure that they did it. And you're right about the 4-4-2. It's the standard formation. It's standard as such, but it's so flexible because you can...
Yeah, it's like, let's face it, we grew up on 4-4-2 in the 90s, and, like, we got bored of it by the 2000s. We were happy people were doing 4-3-3 and getting even more flexible. And then finally when people were playing three in the back, it was, like, amazing. Like, we never thought the back four was becoming unfashionable. It was, like, it left you tactically vulnerable. But they've shown that it depends on the team. And because Torreira is really good at being that shield, and Suarez and Cavani come back in defense well, and actually help win the ball so well, having two center backs is fine, and their wingers don't need to be flying attacking all the time. They are more than happy to just come up, find passes, and like draw defenders away. Like, they're not quite wing backs, but they're basically it's an old fashioned fullback. Like, they're doing it properly.
It's the complete fullback concept. Yeah. You know, they're not just defending, they're coming forward when need to.
Yeah.
They're doing the work, and it does require a good, like, what Uruguay is doing requires that good work effort and everybody to know what they're doing, to be putting in 100%, you know, 110% every game, and that's what they're doing, and it's reaping the rewards.
Yeah, and the idea, like, because the other thing, like, it very much reminds me a little bit about of AC Milan's formation in the 90s, when they basically would rarely ever have their forward, apart from the goalkeeper, of course, their forward-most player and their backwards-most player more than 20 meters away from each other down the pitch. Like, this was how they attacked. They defended and attacked as a team, and they moved along. And that's worked really well for Uruguay. France is going to have its work cut out for them if they're going to beat them. And to be honest, I don't think France can. I mean, to beat a team like Uruguay, you need to have a manager who's a bit fearless, who's a bit willing to go, sure, we'll concede a few goals. And, like, I feel like that happened against Argentina, despite Didier Deschamps much rather prefers to be defensive. And I don't think he really trusts a lot of his players to do what they need to do to go out and win. Like, he wants that structure, whereas he's got a lot of brilliance. And, I mean, it's difficult to articulate what I'm trying to say here, but I think France have the talent to beat Uruguay, absolutely. Yes. And if their players just are in the mood and turning it on, because football is like, similar to cricket in one fashion, is that if one player is just having a great day and like absolutely on fire, no matter how good the other team might be on paper, it's very difficult for them to stop. Especially if his team are just doing enough.
Yeah, yeah.
To like,
if both teams are having a good day, but one team has a guy that's just having the best game in the world, like his best is just lighting it up. Mm. Everything he touches turns to gold. Then that team just has that edge, and it's really hard to.
And I feel like France have more players like that than Uruguay, where Uruguay basically have Suarez, and while Cavani's a great player and solid, Suarez is more likely to be that player with spark who will do
he's
that.
their talisman.
He like, is.
If he has a great game, the rest of them really step up. And
absolutely, I agree. But I am picking Uruguay for this one. I think they can beat France, and they're not going to be afraid of Brazil the next round either. Or Belgium for that matter. So I think they could win this game, and if they win this game, I think they're a shoo-in for the finals.
Yeah, I'm a bit 50-50 on it, because like this is I'm definitely looking forward to the game. I think it's going to be interesting. Because I look at it and go, if there's a team that could beat France, it's Uruguay. If there's a team that could beat Uruguay, it's France. Like, I look at the rest of the draw.
It's the toughest.
Like,
it's one of the tougher games this round. I agree.
I'm actually thinking France. I think I know what you're saying about Deschamps, and that he's a bit defensive. He's a centre back. That's his mindset. You know, it's always been there for him, and he'll prefer that they sort of try and defend first and attack second, such. But I feel like France has got that attacking prowess and that mindset that if they come out thinking the way they did against Argentina, which is we need to score goals, then we're going to have another high-scoring goal thing. But I think that if it is a high-scoring goal fest, that France have...
If it's a high-scoring goal fest, I agree with you. France have the edge. I feel there's more goals in that France team than the Uruguay team. But I don't think Uruguay are as bad defensively as Argentina are.
No. And I just feel like France have enough to unlock the Uruguayan defence. And because they have enough to unlock the Uruguayan defence, they'll score goals. And if there's goals being scored, I think France will score more than Uruguay. Even though,
so you're picking France?
I'm picking France.
All right.
Even though Suarez and Cavani will do their best to keep Uruguay in it, I think France will...
If Cavani plays. Although that was one of the highlights, I think, of that game, where Cristiano Ronaldo carried Cavani off the field.
Yeah, yeah.
That was great.
That was great. I mean, there was a bit of a question about whether he's doing it for completely altruistic reasons or just to, like, get off the field, we need to screw our equaliser. But the same, like, you watch the video of it, and you watch it, and it's not like he's being mean about it. He's like, you need to get off, or I'll help you off. He's actually helping him off, as opposed to just trying to get him over the sideline.
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't matter whether he was doing it to hurry it up. He was, when he was doing it, he was still doing it
properly.
Respectfully.
Yes.